Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning, O God, to gather us together as a people chosen by your grace, coming to before your holy throne to hear your holy word. Bless us this morning, O God, through your word. Open our eyes, open our minds of understanding that we may know Christ and know him more. That even those among us who have not come to know your God may draw near to you at this moment, that they may see it right for them to call unto your name, O God, and be saved. So we say, speak, O God, until your church is filled, until this earth is filled with your glory, until we come to the knowledge of Christ, until all your people are saved. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say, Amen.
Amen.
We may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1.
The Bible says, Matthew. Chapter 1.
We're going to read together from verse 21 to verse 25.
Verse 21, verse 25.
We'll spend our time in verse 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 1. The title of this message this morning, they shall call his name Emmanuel. And we shall read then from the Soto and the English, from 21 to
25. Emmanuel. Elengore modimo o na le rona ha Jehova a tswa borokong a etsa ka molengolo e la morena le molaetseng ka teng a inkela mahatsa hae mme hake a kena dikobong tsa hae o fihlela a bele ha mora Josepha a mreya lebitso la Jesu.
She will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angels of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name what? Jesus. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. There should be a greater reason why we come together as a people, as the children of the Lord here in this church, even in such a cold weather like this. I really don't think of anything else except the fact that we love the Lord, we love the word of God, we love the gospel, we love one another, we love to worship God together. It is the word of God that brings us together. It cannot be the songs, because these songs are really not entertaining, as some people are looking for entertainment. And it is not the pastor, of course it's not him, because it's really not cool. But I am convinced that it is the word of God. So let's spend our time to listen to the word of God this morning. And I want to tell you that I pray for you. Each and every one of you, one by one, I pray for you. It just gets difficult sometimes, because sometimes I forget the names and I go to the book and But I pray for you. And I hope that you also pray for me. And if you have never prayed for me, sit there and feel guilty about it. Okay, repent from it. And pray for me as well. May the Lord bless you. They shall call his name Emmanuel. So we have seen from the opening of this chapter, chapter number 1 of the book of Matthew already, we have seen from the genealogy of Jesus Christ that this is the King who was to come into the world and save his people, the Messiah who was promised by God from the Old Testament. The promise given to David that he will come as a root of Jesse, the righteous one will come and establish the kingdom of God, the throne of David. The promise given to Abraham that unto this one all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So we have seen last week already that he comes to save his people from their sins. His people have sinned before God. They've broken the commandment of God. They've separated themselves from God. They've made an alienation for themselves against God. So he comes to bring his people together, to unite them with God, to bring them and make them one with God, to bring light unto the darkness, for he himself is the light of the world. Our aim this morning is to answer one question. What qualifies this child? What qualifies him to save from sin? That's the question that we have. But we must not forget at the same time that Joseph himself, as the angel speaks to him, he's got his own questions that need to be answered. He had concerns, legitimate concerns. And when he went to sleep, he had all these questions that he needed some answers, and the angel came while he's asleep and he tells him that, do not worry, this child is from the Holy Spirit and you shall call his name Jesus. But that does not answer why would Joseph trust this angel. So there are two questions here. One from our side, one from Joseph's side. As he's sleeping, he's there sleeping. But he needs to wake up with an answer. Why must I trust this angel? And we want to know what qualifies this Jesus because we know that from the foundation of the earth, no man was ever known to come and rescue men or to reverse that curse that was put upon men in the Garden of Eden. No man has ever done that or attempted to do that. So the angel's answer to Joseph will be our answer as well. And the answer is very simple. He's God. We have to trust because he's God. We must know that he says because he's God. So we're done. We can go home. We know the answer now. But for this morning, we need to prove that. So there are two things that I want us to draw our attention to as an answer to us. First is the authentication of the Old Testament. The verification the confirmation of the Old Testament. And secondly, is the fact that God is with us. They shall call his name Emmanuel.
They
want to know why they must call his name Emmanuel. We want to find out from the Old Testament, what does it mean for us? One of the famous and most beautiful hymns that I hope we sing one day, it says, I save a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know he's living, no matter what men can say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice.
He
continues and he says, he walks with me, he talks with me, and he lives within my heart. That's the question we need to answer before we leave here. You need to answer to yourself, does he live within my heart?
So,
the Old Testament, I say, it authenticates that Jesus is the Messiah. There are many passages, brethren, that we can open to prove the Old Testament. We can go Genesis 22 and talk of the story of Isaac and go back to other texts and look at the story of Joseph and look at the story of Adam and Eve. Everything will bring us to Christ. But for this morning, I want us just to look at the very specific prophecy that Matthew is quoting from the book of Isaiah. So we're going to limit ourselves to what Matthew has given to us.
It says,
behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's what the angel says. And he says all this took place to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy. That is verse 22, where we just read this morning. So when the angel says it's taking place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken, in other words, now we need to put our glasses, our lens that we use to look at the Bible. The angel is trying to say now there is some kind of equal importance between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We need to look at these two covenants as equal. So we're going to see, we need to see that the Old Testament is equally important as the New. It's just one big book about one great Savior. So the angel speaks of the fulfillment that takes place in the incarnation of King Jesus. In other words, when we think of the Old Testament, we think of the Word of God. Because there are things that has been spoken about before that now comes to pass. And this is one of them. This also should show us, it should show us vividly that God is in control of all affairs, the human affairs and all historical affairs. This is the God of history. He told us what he will do, And then he comes and do exactly what he said he will do. So events doesn't just happen randomly, but they come as a fulfillment of God's plan. Nothing just happens. So we realize that the Old Testament reveals also the grace of God. Because it was in the Old Testament where God revealed His mercy that He will come into the world and save sinners from their sins. To comfort His people. To fight for His people against their enemies. To vindicate those who are His own. That God will come and take away our sorrows and take away our pains. That one day He will destroy sin and Satan. And that one day He will take us home. So that way is we may be also. So God gave promises in the Old Testament. That is what the angel says. Joseph, as he is sleeping there, he needs to wake up and know that, in other words, when he wakes up, he needs to be satisfied with all the answers. So the angel said, God has spoken before, things are now happening. God has made some promises. So for us to understand, we need to understand that God has been working through history for one reason, to bring Christ and make Him known unto His people. The creation of Adam leads us to Christ. The prophecies of the Old Testament point to Christ. There is something that God said He would do. We remember last week we said, when we were preaching the word of God, we said that God said Himself, I will save you. I will cleanse you from within. I will sprinkle you with clean water. I will take away your stony heart. I will put in you a new heart. And I will make you walk in my statutes. You shall be my people. I shall be your God. Joseph is sleeping there. Angel standing before him, he says, "You shall call his name. You shall call his name Jesus." But the angel needs to carry on and really convince this man, because it's not going to be easy. So he drives him back now to historical events. The angel reminds Joseph of what the Lord said during the reign of King Ahaz. During the prophetic time of Prophet Isaiah, approximately 708 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read Isaiah, we come across a time in history where wickedness prevailed, where the king himself was wicked among the people, when idolatry was the food of the day in the land of Judah. King Ahaz himself was an idolater, a sinful man, a wicked man leading the people of God. Everyone's focus was no longer unto the Lord. People now began to look to please themselves. Of course, when things like that happen, the Lord allows the enemy to come. So God allowed King of Israel and the King of of Assyria, sorry, of Syria, to come and fight King Ahaz. But what happened is that King Ahaz did not put his trust upon the Lord. And God came to him and said to him, ask me for a sign. The sign can be as deep as Shoel, it can be as high as the heavens. King Ahaz refused. Then the Lord said, I will give you a sign myself. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Whether you like the sign or you don't like the sign, but I will give you a sign.
Emmanuel.
But King Ahaz did not trust the Lord. This wicked king went to seek help from another pagan king. He didn't lift up his eyes unto the Lord as we should lift up our eyes unto the Lord. He asked the king of Assyria to help him. Remember, his enemy is Israel and Syria. But now he's asking Assyria to help him. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? He didn't put his trust on the Lord. The Lord said, I will send someone who will vindicate my people. I will send someone who will fight for my people, who will deliver my people from their enemies. But he went to seek help from a pagan king. And then, just to please the pagan king, King Ahaz stole gold and silver from the temple of the Lord and gave to the pagan king. And we realized that there was no need for him to mingle with the pagans. There was no need for him to ask help from foreign people. He had to just trust upon the Lord. But the Lord was going to vindicate his people. The Lord was going to deliver his people as he promised before, as he has done it many times. God had promised him and said, no badly can wipe out the inheritance of God. Do you remember there was a badly coming? There was a badly coming. But God says, no badly will wipe out my inheritance. I will send a deliverer to vindicate my people. I am faithful. No one can ever destroy those who are of God's elect. I will send someone born of a virgin. You read in chapter number 9 of Isaiah, you read verse number 2. Yeah, what the Lord says there, pointing out to the one who was to come into the world. He says in verse number 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of darkness, on them the light has shined. Surprising enough, by God's grace, Matthew in chapter number 4, he quotes the very same words. He says that pointed to Jesus was coming into the world to take away darkness on those who walk in darkness. So the angel verifies to Joseph that it looks like God's people are scattered. They have been captured and they've been taken to slavery, but God has not failed. His plan still continues. He has not abandoned his people. God keeps his promises. Now he says, He has sent his son.
The
one in the womb of Mary.
At
the fullness of time, the Lord sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. In order to redeem those who are under the law, to adopt us as sons. So he comes to save his people from their greatest enemy. What is the people's greatest enemy? What do you think is their greatest enemy? He comes to save from sin. Sin is our greatest enemy. But then at the same time, he comes to save us from our true enemy. God himself is our enemy. The Bible says we were standing in enmity with him, his enemies. But he sent his son to die at the cross, and through his blood he reconciled us that we may be called his children. The angel says, this is the one. God has not abandoned his people. God keeps his promises. According to what has been written before, God is delivering right now. He said he will send someone. That's what he did. 1 John chapter 3 verse 5 says, very short verse, you can interpret. It says, you know that he appeared in order to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. Oh, the Old Testament says someone was to come into the world, but there was a problem in the world. So to come and crush that problem. Here's the question. This is given to King Ahaz 708 years. But King Ahaz did not believe it. I wonder if we believe it. I wonder if we believe that this is the Son of God who has to come into the world. King Ahaz ran to a pagan king to find help. Where do you run to? To find your own help. Is there anyone else that you put your trust upon but Jesus Christ? Do you have any other help outside the Lord Jesus Christ? Where do you run? In times of trouble, in times of trials, in times of difficulties. I know that Togozo and Nonto, they will run to me when there's trouble, because they are my children and I'm their father. But there are things that I cannot do for them. Where do you run? King Ahaz ran and went to a pagan king. But well, going back to this now, the Old Testament says this is the everlasting Father, the one who has to come to the world, the Prince of Peace. Look at Jeremiah 30 verse 21.
Jeremiah chapter 30
verse 21 to 22.
Verse 21 to 22.
Their prince shall be one of themselves. Their ruler shall come out of their midst. I will make him draw near, and he shall approach me. For who will dare of himself to approach me, declares the Lord. And I shall be you shall be my people, I'll be your God. There's something I want you to draw from this. Here is God speaking through Jeremiah. These people are going to exile very soon. But there are a few ways here that you must notice. He says someone is coming to be a prince among them. He will be secondly a ruler among them. But thirdly, he will be the one who will draw near to God. On behalf of his people, he will draw near to God, for his people cannot draw near to God. But there is enmity between God and his people. And once he comes and be their prince and be their ruler, and it was near to God, then the people will be God's people, saved people, then God will be their people, their God. Friends, the Old Testament authenticates that Jesus Christ is the one who was to come into the world. He is the Son of God. Joseph needs to stand up there from his sleep and do exactly what God says he must do. We must also do exactly the same. So what qualifies Jesus first to save according to verse number 21? Because this is a flow of ideas, verse 21 to 23. What qualifies him to save? First, it's the fact that the Old Testament speaks of him. God himself speaks of him. The fact that he is the Savior.
The
Old Testament speak of him as the Savior.
Yeah.
We hear that Muhammad also is a Savior for other people. Buddha is also a Savior for other people. What's the difference? Staggering truth which lies in the hearts of the Christian religion, that Jesus Christ is divine. That Jesus Christ was truly man, but truly God at the same time, two natures together without compromising each other. So that he can be able to stand for us as men and draw near to God, as we read before. He needs to be man to draw near to God on behalf of men who are sinful, but the righteous one, born from a virgin, need to draw near to God. Pray for him. Sorry, my good friend. This is the Son of God. So, we open our eyes and we see this verse 23, it says, he shall be called Emmanuel. Okay, that's what the Old Testament doesn't say what it means. Matthew says, the angel says, God with us. Give us courage, give us comfort, worshipping God. Not just somebody who's raised from worshipping God. Who knows everything, who created the heavens and the earth. So I said he was truly man, truly God. He who came our sins to take. From the earth to the grave. And the grave could not keep him. And from the grave to the sky. And now he's alive forevermore. Friends, the Bible does not say to us, does not teach us that the phrase God with us only refers to the fact that Jesus came and be among his people. No, it's more than that. It does not only refer to the physical manifestation, meaning the incarnation of Christ. It doesn't only refer to that. God with us. Remember Matthew, I said, is writing 70 AD. Christ has been gone for like 30 years. What? But he still says God with us. It's not like saying Nonto with us, because I can see Noto.
No.
He says God with us. So it's more than that. It's more than just the fact that he came and walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem. He tells us, friends, that we are now closer to God. We have a closer relationship with him. In other words, his presence is no longer in the Holy of Holies. Now we can draw near to him because of that wonderful and wondrous cross. The Bible says he made our bodies a temple of the Holy Spirit, his temple. We live for him. The Shekinah glory that remained upon the tent of meeting in the wilderness is no longer in the wilderness. God does no longer lead his people through a pillar of fire by night and cloud by day. He lives within our hearts. He is God with us. So verse 23 answers these legitimate concerns of Joseph. Why must they believe he's God? He's answering our own questions. Why must we believe? Or what qualifies him to say? Because no man can say he's God. He's not like you. He's God. Two things here that the angel is trying to communicate. First, the man who walks the streets of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, was God among his people. Secondly, the man who ascended unto heaven is still God today. God with us. He has not stopped to be God. He doesn't have to be present and manifest so that we may see him as God. Look at Matthew 28 verse 20. Portion of the verse says, I am with you always to the end of the age. So in this verse we see the beauty and the grace of God. How do we see that? Is that God inclined to the level of his people? I want you to think of that time, the time where God came to Mount Sinai. The Bible says there was thunder and smoke. The mountain itself trembled before God. The animals could not approach the mountain. People, human beings, could not touch the mountain lest they die. But by the grace of God, only Moses was able to approach the mountain. But now the angel says, the very same one who makes people tremble has come to live among us. The one who brings fear in the hearts of the people. The ones who exposes the sin of people. Look what they say to Moses in Exodus chapter number 20. In verse number 19, they say to... It's fine, it's a short verse. No, Exodus. Moses is in Exodus 20, verse 19. It's a short verse. But listen to what the people, recognizing their sinfulness. I wonder if we do recognize our sin as we approach God. They say to him, you speak to us. And we will listen. That's verse number 19. Do not let God speak to us lest we die. So now the angel, You can see the fear in the heart of the people, for they realize that they are sinful, wretched sinners. But now the angel says, the very one who came at that time and the mountain trembles and strikes fear in the hearts of his people, he comes now and he dwells among us, God with us, the very God who hates sin and hates sinners alike. But he chose now a sinful woman to carry him in her womb, and chose a man named Joseph to raise him, the very God. But no. And when we believe in him, when we turn away from our sins, he's willing to dwell within our hearts. The mighty God, whose voice stands us and brings everything to trembling. The Bible says his voice gives birth to the deer.
He's laughing.
The purple. The very God. That's what the angel says. He says, no, he has come into the world. But here's the question before we lose track here. He says, they shall call his name Emmanuel. The question remains then. Who is going to call his name Emmanuel? Of course, it cannot be Joseph and Mary, because he has already told Joseph and Mary that his name shall be called Jesus, the name above every name, in whose name everything trembles. Who shall call his name Emmanuel? That's very interesting. Oh, yeah. But he says they shall call him
Emmanuel.
The answer is very simple. It is those whom he shall save. The very one he's talking about in verse 21. They shall call his name Emmanuel. So do not be surprised when the world does not give honor to God and call Jesus God. No, only those who are raised from the dead, only those who are raised from their spiritual dead shall call his name Jesus, shall recognize that this is God who came into the world and dwelt among us and made his dwelling with us, so that he make our dwelling with him. His people,
Emmanuel,
those who come to him, Christians, every Christian everywhere, who have come to believe in Jesus, is able to say, God is with me. I am a citizen of heaven right now. He lives within my heart. I'm no longer a slave of sin and Satan. I am redeemed. He's God for me now, and he's God for me in the life to come. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 33 to 35, a very beautiful way. Listen to what the apostle says. He's asking a question. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is then to condemn? Who's going to condemn them? Yeah, I stopped there. Continue to say, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God. Who indeed intercedes for us. Here's another question. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, shall famine, shall nakedness, danger, and sweat? What can separate us from the love of God? You see now, for that very reason, Because no one can separate us from His love. No troubles of this world, no temptation in this world, no distress, no sword, no death. So do not expect everyone to call Jesus God. But you cannot be saved unless you recognize that Jesus Christ is God. Only those who are raised from their spiritual death realize that Jesus Christ is God. Those whose eyes have been opened now to see Him as they're supposed to see Him, as God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. They don't try to make Him God because they know He is God. So this is God who came to live with us. He came to die for men. But not only to die for men, to rise from the dead with men. So he's with us in our troubles and our tribulations. He's God with us. In our afflictions and sicknesses, He's God with us. In our sojourn, in our pilgrimage in this world, He's God with us. I wonder who walks with you, who talks with you. This is God made manifest in the flesh. And His people shall delight on Him. They shall call upon His name. Why? Because they are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And He lives within our hearts. Someone will ask them, did Joseph believe that Jesus Christ was God? Thanks for asking. I'm glad you did. Because the answer is yes. Look at what he did when he woke up the next day. He followed the instruction of the angel. He took the instruction and the commandment of God. He made Mary his wife. He named the child later on, exactly as the angel said, Jesus, who shall save his people from their sins. The question then that should remain, do you listen to the word of God? Do you follow His instructions and commandments? You believe that this is the one who comes to give us free citizenship in heaven, to adopt us to the family of God. Friends, the scripture reveals us to us that even the believers, they worship Jesus. One scripture. Look what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 9, verse 5. He says, Christ is God over all. Blessed forever. Amen. Can someone say amen? We pray to Him. We remember the incident of Stephen. The Bible says when they stoned Stephen and he prayed, Jesus, receive my spirit. Jesus is God. Did Jesus himself believe that he was God? Oh, did Jesus taught that he was God? Yes, he did, and there's so many scriptures, but I'll give you one. Just for you today, because I like you. One scripture. You remember in John chapter 14?
John chapter 14.
When Philip asked Jesus, he says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Verse 9, Jesus answered, have I been with you so long and yet have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Friends, let's get to business. Jesus is God. He's the one we shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. The angel verifies that he gives confidence to Joseph when he wakes up from sleep. He must know that this is the Savior. Different from any human being ever lived in this world. And the difference, friends, is not in his birth. There is nothing supernatural or special about his birth. No. The difference is in his conception. That's what sets him apart. The way he came to being. He came from heaven by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. That's what set him apart. The solemn involvement of the Holy Spirit in his life set him apart. The historical fact about him that we have spoken about set him apart. The prophecies of Scripture point to him. It sets him apart. The fact that he was born of a virgin set him apart. So what we see here, friends, that God has graciously come into the world and humbled himself and drew near to us. Why? So that we may no longer search for him in vain. But he himself came searching for us. He came to seek that which was lost. To reconcile and restore our relationship with God. To make us holy and acceptable before God. To forgive our sins. To translate us from the kingdom of darkness to his marvelous light. From condemnation to life. To change our relationship with God from enmity to unity. What qualifies Jesus? To save us. What makes verse number 21 so special?
The
explanation we get in verse 22 and verse 23. The Old Testament speaks of him. He is the promised Messiah. If you can't read the Old Testament, you can't read. Because also he is God. You don't have to read that. You
can just read.
The scripture testifies of him. So we learn that the Old Testament testimony and witness about Jesus cannot be denied. We must trust in him. Trust in his ways. His written ways. We must delight on his ways. Because he fulfills his promises. He brings salvation. He shall heal our diseases. He prospers us. He vindicates his people. So we can depend on him. We can rejoice in him. Because he's truthful and he's trustworthy. He fulfills promises. He is God. He does not change his mind. That is why he fulfills his promises. He shall wipe our tears away one day. Take away our sorrows and pain. We must know that in the midst of the storm is God with us. In the troubles of life is God with us. He's the one who supplies our needs according to his riches in glory because he's God with us. Answer me this question. Is he your Emmanuel? Does he reign in your life? Does he live within your heart? I pray that you may answer these questions. May the good Lord bless you and strengthen you. Keep you safe. Remind you day and day, day after day. God is with us. You can look around and see trouble, but God is with us. But remember why he's with us.
Verse 21.
Our Heavenly God, we are grateful this morning to know and to come before you, be reminded about you, about your grace, that you are the God of Old Testament, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who says, let us make men, the one who said, let there be light. We are grateful, God, that you have come into the world and manifest yourself. You took on flesh just to vindicate us from sin, from the trouble of this world, to take us home so that where you are, we may be also, oh God. We are grateful, our Father, to know you, that you are God within us. You live within our hearts, regardless of what men may say. But you walk with us, you talk with us. We are thankful, oh God. Speak to your people this morning. May your word remain in their hearts. May it spring forth like a seed. May it germinate and be watered and grow. That may all come to the knowledge of Christ. We ask all this in the name of your Son. We say Amen.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes for the benediction. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May the good Lord bless you until, by his grace, we see each other again.